Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, we have a historic episode dialed up for today in that this is our last episode as independent media makers. Years ago, how many years ago, Pipe, did we start this thing?
And I think we're almost at eight.
Yeah.
It was 2014 when we started this, and it was like, I think it was May of 2014.
Yeah.
So we're fast approaching 8 years doing this, which is either, we either deserve kudos or what is the matter with us?
Yeah, that's crazy. Sometimes I say eight, sometimes I say 10, you know, just round it up. But we've been doing this for a long time, and we've been doing it independently. So we've been just kind of, you know, hard scrabble, true to our integrity, makers of podcast media. But boys, we are on the precipice of something big for this program. In that, we are selling out. We are selling out in a huge way to a company called, it's Salem, right, Pipe?
Salem Media. And then, yeah, so they have a network of podcasts called Life Audio. So we will be
Life Audio,
newly minted Life Audio members,
yeah.
Participants,
artists,
moguls,
yeah. Life Audio
artists. Yes.
They came to us with just a briefcase full of cash. They know what our weak spots are in true A&R kind of media fashion. They pursued us. They chased us down.
I'd say they played to our egos a little bit.
They played to our considerable egos. And we have a huge new deal in place, boys. And I'm a little distracted. My computer's doing weird things. Also, it looks like my son Maxim just like dumped out the contents of his backpack like right in my studio space. So I'm looking at this huge pile of stuff, hoping he doesn't need any of it for school. But big changes ahead for us, boys. Piper, we have, kind of to kick this thing off, a live show coming up. It's live. It's in the Louisville area, the greater Louisville metro area. Tell people where they can get tickets for the show.
Yeah, if you go to thehappyrant.com, that's our website where you can find all of our episodes, all of our merchandise, which remains awesome. There's right at the top, it says the live show. And you can find all the details there. It is Monday, April 18th at 7 p.m. It will be at Sojourn Church in New Albany, Indiana, which is right across the river from Louisville. It's like the low-rent district of Louisville. It's where people can afford homes and also where we can afford to do a show because we got priced out of Louisville, basically. They were like, sorry, you don't make the cut anymore. So we're like, fine, we'll go across the river to our friends at Sojourn New Albany. It's a 10-minute drive from downtown Louisville or Uber ride. It's the morning before or the evening before T4G starts. And so it'll be our typical show of shenanigans, multiple episodes, lots of interaction with you, the listeners who are there. A bunch of you have already bought tickets. We have two ticket options. One is a premium ticket option that's only available until March 27th because that one comes with an exclusive Happy Rant Last Laugh t-shirt, and we need to get those printed and everything. Our good friend Josh Byers, who also runs Visual Theology, is designing those. He sent me the design he's working on. It looks really sharp. So you can get that ticket option for $45 or standard tickets for $20. And yeah, go check it out. Thehappyrant.com, live show, get your tickets. The standard tickets will be available right up until showtime, basically. But we encourage you to get them in advance.
I'm hearing a lot of buzz about this show, and I'm actually, baby, hearing that there's going to be some celebrity appearances in the house, including perhaps one at Jared C. Wilson, kind of experimenting with his wardrobe a little bit, doing some different things.
Mm.
He's a sponsored at Marshall's celebrity. So at Jared C. and at Marshall's made it official. They're in a business relationship. Jared's doing some new things with this wardrobe. Kind of
TJ Maxx really wants to get in on this.
Yeah.
You could have just started a bidding
it's
war.
It's like NFL free agency. TJ Maxx made a big push right at the end, but you know, at Marshall's got the deal done. Jared's doing some things. So when I think about his new wardrobe, baby, I'm thinking of that character from You know the guy from The Wedding Singer who always wore like the Michael Jackson jacket and the one glove? In my mind's eye, that's going to be Jared at the show. He might have some leather pants on. You know, we'll just have to.
Oh, man. Can you imagine how dope that would
be? That would be incredible, wouldn't
Jared see if he walked in with leather pants? I mean, I don't even know if I would need a moment to compose myself. I'd be so stoked.
I feel like Jared sees in that moment of celebrity where he's kind of inflating how much people are actually looking at him. When in fact, when you're a middle-aged man, like no one's looking at you really ever for any reason.
Unless you're wearing leather pants and then they can't look away. Unless you're wearing sort of train wreck reasons.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
it's train wrecky.
It's going to be, it's going to be a little train wrecky. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The whole night's going to be train wrecky. I think what people, if you've never been to a live broadcast, ladies and gents, it is a bit train wrecky the whole night. That's how I would describe it. It's train wrecky in the best possible.
Dude, remember that one year? And I think this was a year where we pulled the biggest ticket sales for this thing, where we really went for it and we really went into the sheet cake thing. We really went into like, I got some guy to like make us Nerf footballs. That was huge. That felt really big. I would like to recapture that energy. So let's take a minute and think about what stuff we would like people to bring us this time.
I forgot that we have a tradition of asking people to give us gifts.
To kind of make it feel special, you know?
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking? Anything come to mind? Like Marshall's gift cards, maybe?
Can you imagine the joy?
Maybe you could talk to Jared about that. Yeah, I mean,
maybe that should be his price of admission.
You know, he's a really important guy. You may have to go through some back channels now to get to him, even. But if we could lean into that, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be something. Or just like I would be interested if you know, like if we put out like our shirt sizes, just the best shirt they could find at Marshall's.
Okay, so yeah, I think that's the play pipe. So,
you know, gift cards feel a little impersonal, whereas if they're like, oh, this is the perfect Ted Kluck
like basically
Marshall
buy,
shirt.
Yeah, buy the shirt that you feel, again, in a non-ironic way, would best suit each of us.
Going to Marshall's, knowing our sizes, so I'm XL, just putting it out there. You know,
large, I'm a large.
It's a lot of it's shoulder. You know, we don't have to get into the specifics, but XL for me, probably like extra, extra small for Ronnie, but...
I should be a large, but I go with medium because
medium is Ronnie.
Because,
size.
You know, at Ronnie J. Martin, you know.
Yeah, so...
Scrawny Ronnie.
Grab something from Marshall's that you think would delight us, and that would be amazing, and we'll make a bit out of it on the show. That'll be probably like a whole episode, so...
Anything Kent Tekulve related is always welcome. I think one of you guys got a Kent Tekulve baseball card at one point.
I did, and it's still in my office. It's at my office at work, and I display it with pride. So shout out to whoever provided the Kent Tekulve card. But maybe something from the Kent Tekulve line at Marshall's. I think he has a similar to Greg Norman. You know, there's a line of Kent Tekulve related gear that would be really nice for us. So. Go to Marshall's and do your worst. We're excited. Always good to have a live show on the horizon, boys, but in light of this move to Salem Media, Piper, why don't you explain the logistics of it in terms of nothing's going to change for the audience. So they don't have to resubscribe. They don't have to do anything weird or different. The show itself qualitatively and quantitatively is not going to change. Save for a couple little formatting things. So Piper, tell them what's different and what's the same about this pivot to Salem. Besides our $2,000 a day cocaine habits and the obvious,
And it's gonna end with explosions and grenade launchers attached to AK-47s and say hello to my little friend.
All the usual stuff. Yeah.
The narrative arc on this is just already in place. But I want to start by reassuring listeners that if we care about one thing on this show, it's artistic integrity. We care deeply. Like there's the reason we've been independent for 8 years, and it's because we just wouldn't sell out who we are and what we stand for, and that will not change. We get to continue to talk about whatever we want, however we want to, with absolutely no show prep. On a new network. So what you've come to expect from us, which is generally the unexpected, will continue. There's no, you know, they're not going to have sort of editorial watchdogs slapping down our genius takes on things. Also, you don't need to resubscribe to anything. This will migrate to a new platform, which just means nothing from you. It'll just keep showing up in your favorite podcast feed, whether that's the Apple podcast apps or Spotify or Amazon Music or, you know, whatever, wherever you find your podcast, it's on all, we're on all of them. So that doesn't change. What you will notice as a difference is, and maybe this is the greatest loss to some of you, although I will say I think I've reached the end of this place in my career. I will no longer be doing ad reads. And by reads, I mean remembering stuff off the top of my head and riffing for 60 seconds.
Baby, let's give a moment of radio silence.
Oh, I agree, baby.
Right now.
Yeah, that feels good. Just reflect on it.
I'm just reflecting.
This is where, like, if we were a bigger production, maybe Salem could do this for us. We could
have some music come.
Yeah, we could cut together a montage, kind of a misty-eyed, backward-looking thing about
old
pipes.
Sarah McLachlan in the Arms of the Angels playing in the background.
Oh, yes, dude. Or I Will Remember You by Sarah McLachlan over pipes.
Is that the one? I don't...
Yeah.
Are they both by her?
They are both by her, I think.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Again,
every song is by Sarah McLachlan.
At least, yeah, every montage.
I had a couple of records by her in my collection in the 90s just to look sensitive in case girls like came to my dorm.
Sweet Surrender, baby.
Sweet Surrender. Oh, kind of like we're sweetly surrendering to Salem Media at this point. We're in their arms, you know?
We're sweetly surrendering to Salem Media, trying to tell you we're not surrendering to anybody, which is just such a very 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway. We're not selling out to anybody.
We're not selling out to anybody, but I just signed a $4 billion major label.
Hold my coffee while I sell out. Yeah.
And also, we'll all be wearing leather pants. Listeners, you will be hearing more ads as part of the show. That'll just be sort of the pre-recorded thing. So who knows? Maybe you'll buy like Bombas socks or, you know, Casper mattresses. Mm. Or whatever it is that gets, you know, you'll sign up for an Audible subscription via this show. So it's also possible that Dwell could stay with us. We've made the connection between Dwell and Salem. They might be working out a deal. It's no longer my purview. I've handed off the negotiations, and I'm not mad about that part of it. So, yeah, basically, it's going to be the same show with a few different ad reads. It'll look different on our end from a production side, but that doesn't affect you at all. And so you just get to keep enjoying the show. And in all seriousness, we did have conversations with them, and they were basically like, the reason we wanted to pick you up is because of how you do the show. So don't, no need to change much about how you do it. So that's good, I guess. We don't have to change anything.
Man, that's so good. We don't have to change anything, and we don't have to put any additional thought into it, which really feels good. And it sounds like, Pipe, this frees you up to just be a radio superstar. You no longer have to deal with a lot of the business behind the scenes, and we.
I don't know what I'm going to do with all my free mental, my freed up mental energy and creative space. Mm-hmm. And who knows? Maybe I'll start like the Pipecast to compete with the Cluck podcast or something.
Man, that space is pretty crowded. You know, I don't know. Maybe you'll start.
I don't know. There's room enough for the both of us.
Maybe you'll start like the your own art of pastoring. You know, walking your own little tightrope there. In the cover art.
The artistic genius of pastoring, I'll call it, as opposed to just this mere art.
If you were to start your own art of pastoring, Pipe, let's just do 30 seconds on this. who would be your sidekick? Who would be the second guy in the booth with you? Or the first guy? I mean, no disrespect to at Jared C.
Yeah. Jared C is locked down doing the For the Church Art of Pastoring podcast. Right. He wouldn't be an option. I'm trying to think of pastors that would be a ton of fun. Mm. Because that's important.
That's a short
to me.
List.
And yeah, I mean, it's, let's see. I mean, Ronnie would be on the list. We kind of do the art of pastoring every time you're not able to be with us on the podcast, which is rare. I mean, you have, you know, you're kind of a man of steel
Iron
when it comes to podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Just not missing anything. Let's see. Who would be a fun one? Ronnie, any suggestions on fun pastors that you're aware of? I mean, it's a short list.
I am not aware of any fun pastors.
Yeah.
I think we're locating a problem here in general.
So if he didn't already have a podcast, Noel Hakenin is a guy. So he has a podcast called, I think it's called Recovering Hypocrite.
Dude, no way. A middle-aged white guy that has a podcast. That's crazy.
Yeah, Pastor Michigan. He's a Michigander. Uh-huh. You know, awesome beard. Mm-hmm. But He's just.
You should know him, T.
I know of him. I knew of his church.
No hiking in.
Yeah, I don't think I ever met him, but.
Yeah. They were kind of the mega church to university reforms, sort of, you know, small to middle size.
Well, church. I mean, we were mega after I made KDY famous.
I meant before.
Before that. Yeah, definitely. We would like smugly look down our noses at them because they were so mega and successful, which is kind of the only card that you have to play as a small church. you know, so we would play that one frequently until we became our own.
I know something about that.
Kind of, you know, unhealthy mega church. But anyway, that's a long story. So yeah, Pipe, I think he would be a good, radio sidekick for you on your own art of pastoring, which,
yeah. And Noel, if you're listening, let's just make this clear. You're my sidekick on this show. You are the sidekick, despite the awesome beard. You bring the beard. I bring most of everything.
Dude, in true,
that's how this works.
In true decadent, like, major label fashion, we should all have side projects that are going to eventually split up this project and make us all completely irrelevant. I think that's the trajectory.
Things that we're pursuing as solo artists down the road.
Exactly. So in true...
Not only irrelevant, but like enemies. We need to be enemies when this whole thing...
Yeah, there needs to be major beef. And this whole thing will split apart and be
sad. You know, God, it's Barnabas is a great guy. Love him.
I wish him the best.
Enjoyed my time with him. You know, again, great guy. Again, great guy. Again, great guy.
Again, yeah.
True pastoral fashion.
Let me
qualify what a great guy is 47 times before I absolutely just
eviscerate him.
Yeah. Do I get called a lovely man anywhere in this evisceration? Like just a lovely guy?
I see kind of Ted going that direction. You know, Barnabas was—he's a lovely man.
He's a really lovely,
but many great
qualities.
But
yeah, he was a joy to work with. You know, until
you know, it'd be great,
except
guys.
When he wasn't.
Let's do this. Let's do this for one. Let's do this maybe for our opening Salem pod. Let's each like write out how we're going to describe the other person when we break this pod up as enemies.
Yeah, let's each like
how great would that be to read off like how we're going to commute. So Ronnie, what like dude, tell me what
it's like a podcast prenup.
Yeah, right. What happened with Ted, man? You've known Ted a long time. Yeah. Ted's a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Ted's a great guy.
We did two legendary books together. I mean,
Ted's a co-author.
Yeah.
Ted's a co-host.
Yeah. And once you're a co-author, I mean, that's a bond that can't easily be broken.
I mean, that's greater than like the parent-child bond.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. It's deeper.
A cord of three strands, two men in a book is not easily broken. You know,
I think that's a legit proverb.
That'll be like the pullout quote in the news release that we write. So we should all, I think that's a great idea. We should all take a crack at like a news release announcing the demise of this pod and saying what lovely men each of us are. That's brilliant. We'll dial that up for next week. But boys, I was thinking back on some milestones for this podcast and kind of how. So if we've been doing this for 8 to 10 years, let's say, a lot's changed for us in that time, including like some pretty like paradigm shifting kind of mindset changes. Like I was in my 30s when we started doing this. And when you're in your 30s, you're looking at life in a completely different way. You're looking at your career in a completely different way. My career was different. This was like pre-professor. I was still living in Michigan. Pipe, you might have been in your 20s. Were you in your 20s?
I think, let's see. I think I would have just turned 30.
Yeah.
So because I'm about to turn 39.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would have just snuck into my 30s. Yeah, I recall at that point thinking that like I thought that you and I were closer in age then than I do now because we both our ages started with the same number.
Yeah, exactly. And we
but you were basically the same age as I am now or a little bit younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, now you seem much, much older and wiser.
Well, I seem much, much older, and I feel much, much older. I mean, boys, 8 years in this business. My goodness.
Oh, man.
The demands, it takes a toll. It ages you.
It takes a toll.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like seeing a president at the end of two terms.
Exactly.
I think that's how we all look and feel right now.
Boys, you look at the publicity shots from the beginning of this show.
We're just a couple of youths.
We look like a bunch of kids, you know, just a bunch of kids having fun in the studio.
Bunch of angry post-youth group kids just making their way in the podcast world
how
like
is it,
everybody else.
How is it that 8 years in the White House makes presidents look gaunt, and 8 years in podcasting gave me love handles. Like, right. I want the gauntness. Yeah, I want that. Yeah. I want that. That sort of
all
raggedness.
That pre-show prep you do.
You know, I mean, give me hollowed out, ravaged gauntness any day. You know, over the kind of fat, sleek excess of being a radio star.
Yeah, I don't want like the high blood pressure, red cheeked, thinning hair look. I want like my hair turned shock white, and there's like hollow. Yeah, just my cheeks are hollows and suitcases under my eyes.
I'm a hollow.
Yeah, I want to look like Crispin. I want to look like Crispin Glover, not Rush Limbaugh. I think that's what you're trying to Glover. Say right now. I think that's what we're all trying to get to right now.
I love it. Yeah, yeah. That's a great celebrity call out. Crispin Glover might be at the live show. You know,
yeah, I heard. Well, that, I didn't want to mention that, but I think he might be going with Jared
with a smaller entourage
than they might be carpooling together. Yeah, yeah. Jared C. and Crispin Glover.
Yeah, Crispin Glover.
What do you think they're gonna? What do you think they would drive if Crispin Glover,
dude, that's a
and Jared question. C. showed up at the Last Laugh?
Something. And I'm inferring a lot about Crispin Glover's personality based on seeing him in Back to the Future 30 years ago. Do you think he's...
Which might be the most normal role he's ever played if you really look at his catalog.
Do you think he still has the old DeLorean from Back to the Future? I feel...
How great would that be?
That would be interesting. And Jared C. would be so excited to ride in that. He would
He'd be so pumped.
Dude, he would hyperventilate, maybe throw up all over his Marshall's
pants. He would be so pumped. Yeah, I think he still watches that movie like twice a week.
I think he would... I think at Jared C., and this is a little esoteric, stay with me. I think he would spend a lot of time, though, kind of reflecting on who's more famous between him and Crispin Glover. You know what I mean? And he kind of takes some pleasure in the fact that, like, at this venue, more people are probably going to recognize me.
He's not wrong, dude.
I know. I mean, in that venue.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that would be a legit thought for him to have. Like, well, they'd be like, hey, Jared, who's your friend?
And to be fair, it's a really healthy thought for a lot of pastors to have, and just spend a lot of time each day reflecting on how famous they are in relationship to other people. That's just good, healthy 2022 behavior.
Yeah, always be measuring the relative size of your fish versus the pond that you are in.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, it's right there as one of those key laws of leadership.
I feel like pastors build in a couple hours every day in their little planners to do just to reflect on that. You know, it's part of the quiet time routine in the morning. You know, how famous am I compared to the people that I call my friends? So yeah, at Jared C. rolls up with Crispin Glover. What are they driving? I'm going on the nose. I'm going the DeLorean for Back to the Future. What do you think, baby?
I'm going with... I'm saying Crispin will be the one doing the driving, 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the real pretentious sort of like hybrid electric car that all the celebs still...
Tesla?
Pretend that they drive. Mm-hmm. No, not a Tesla. The original one that like Prius. Was made by Honda.
Yeah.
The Prius. Yeah.
They'll pull up the Prius. Yeah.
I would see Crispin Glover as a strong environmental poser. Mm. So yeah, electric car for sure. Yeah, Tesla's a little too modern. So like the Leaf, what is it? Is it the Nissan Leaf is it? You know, so it's
yeah,
it's
Chevy,
that one.
The Chevy Leaf is what it is.
Oh, Chevy.
Yeah, okay.
Coming in strong with the electric
and
car.
Nobody would hear them coming, you know, because that car is...
It'd be a whisper.
Basically sounds like it's being peddled, so...
But then at the same time, like, Crispin could be one of these old school dudes. It's like pulling up in his, like, 57, like, totally, like...
Like a 69 Mustang fastback, you know, big throaty
like,
rumble.
Like, he's probably more like that guy. Yeah, yeah, like, dude, I don't care. I'm into classic cars.
Yeah. If it was going to be one of those cars, I don't think it would be a muscle car. I think it'd be, like, one of the 60s-era Cadillacs with, like, the fin.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kind of a two-tone, so like canvas top, teal body with a white stripe down the side.
Yeah, totally redone. And yeah, I mean, that's how he'd
roll. I got another iteration of this, and hear me out on it.
Crispin Glover and Jared.
Crispin Glover and Jared C. Motorcycle.
That's abstract.
Motorcycle with a sidecar. Who's in the sidecar?
Wow.
Is it Crispin or Jared?
It's Jared.
Picturing Jared with his goggles on.
Yeah, all kind of wedged into this little sidecar. Yeah, little.
It's Jared C., but he's stoked because, again, he's with the guy from Back.
He's with the guy from Back to the Future. He's ascertained that he's more famous. He's stoked. He's on a cloud at that point. That's really big. But boys, when you started doing this program, what were your expectations of it? So thinking back like a decade ago, almost at the beginning of podcasts, we start doing this. What are your expectations of it? And has it lived up to your expectations or exceeded or fallen short of?
All right. Well, let me start because I was kind of the latecomer to the show. Mm-hmm. So according to what Barnabas told me at the very beginning, there's still a chance that I'm going to have to wave goodbye because Trogues wants to come back on. And I quote, "If Trogues wants to come back on, Ronnie, then, I mean, it just means that you had a good run, but you will have to bring
Dude, really? Was that the contract language at the beginning of your
that's
deal?
That's what it was.
That's fascinating.
That's what it was. So and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, all right. I see how it is. I see how much I'm wanted here. I get
Trogues
it.
Could trigger that clause in the contract, and you could be out. That'd be fascinating. Yeah.
No, there was a statute of limitations on that. You know, that was like a 12-month kind of thing. You know how Trogues was. It's like, he was always stopping and starting things. Uh-huh. And
I felt so affirmed is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, as well you should.
We want you around, maybe. Yeah.
Yes. But, I mean, when he left the show, so when we started this show, you know, it was Trogues and me doing a couple of these video things. We switched it to audio. Ted comes in as the third host. Ted, you and I had never – I think we did the show for like 2 years, before, 2 or 3 years
we
before
did,
we met
yeah.
in person.
Yep.
And still haven't met Trogues in person, by the way.
No, I haven't either.
And
that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But when he left, it was a little bit like it had that Tom Brady's retirement feel to it.
Right.
You know, not that he was the greatest of all time, but you're like, is this real? Or maybe like Brett Favre retiring, where he's like, I'm stepping away, I'm exhausted, I'm burned out.
And you're like, he'll be back in 6 weeks. You know.
Yeah, I was like, well, it turns out he signed with a different team and didn't come back to our podcast. But there was just it wasn't like a guys, this show has had a run, we're done, and like Ted and I picked it up and ran the ball. It was more like there was a tenuousness to that whole thing at the time. So yeah, Ronnie, you definitely got the you might be a fill-in, and then instead you just Wally Pipped him. You stepped in and you know. Just took
exactly
over the role.
How I thought of it, I Wally Pipped him. That's the kind of the line that goes through my head every time I think about Trogues. Mm-hmm. But
you Crispin Glovered him.
I Crispin Glovered him. So boys, I still feel like any day now you guys are going to say, "Hey, Trogues is coming back," which then again means you're going to have to. The book's not done. You're going to have to remove all my content.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to re-edit that thing.
Trogues will have to write the. You know, 6,000 words that you contributed, you know, we'll back those out of there. And
but I promise he'll also edit your words, Ted.
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah.
This joke would be funnier if.
Yeah, he'll change every word of what I've written, and it'll be somehow dissatisfying.
It's
going to
be good times, boys. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
It's going to be amazing.
Oh, Trogues is writing me right now, so maybe I'm getting the news.
He's texting you. Yeah, yeah. He's ready to come back to the bargaining table with his contract. I love it. So... Let's do more kind of misty eyed.
What were your expectations, Ted?
That's a great question. You know,
because you came like you got invited into this thing that Steven and I had sort of like half baked started.
Yeah,
and we were like you were on episode one of the audio version. We did these dumb videos, which I don't even know if they still exist anywhere. Not. When I say dumb videos, I just mean they were dumb because we were just doing a podcast while staring at a screen.
It was like an early version of Zoom. You guys were actually like pioneers.
Google Hangouts.
Oh, great.
Is what we were using. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think my expectations were pretty low. And that's true of
and
almost
been met
everything perfectly. That I do. Yeah. Yeah. The bar was so low. No, I mean, it sounded like I knew podcasts were a thing. Like Bill Simmons had been doing it for a couple years, and I just thought this feels enough like radio that I could get excited about it, you know, because I had a high view of radio from like growing up listening to the radio as a kid. So had a high view of radio. It wasn't social media, so that felt good. It just felt like an easy thing to say yes to, and it was fun. You know, I think it was more fun than I expected. And one of my like early memories of the show. So I was freelance writing, living in Michigan, working way too much because you can't make a living as a freelance writer, but I hadn't yet learned that, but So I was adjuncting at a bunch of schools. I was doing a whole bunch of books and stuff. And I remember like recording the show from like parking lots on my phone. You know, I'd be in some parking lot in Grand Rapids, Michigan, like between things. And I'd go out and there'd be, you know, 8 feet of snow on the ground because there always was. And, you know, talking about some bit that Trogues had, you know, conceived of from my car. And I just thought, this is going to be a disaster. And I would say, like, the process has gotten way better.
Oh, yeah. I have a similar memory because, you know, my kids were little at this, like, preschool and first grade or something like that. And we had just moved to Tennessee and we're living in this apartment. And so there wasn't a lot of space. And so, like, if they were awake, I had to find another place to do this.
Yeah.
And so I would go to like the apartment complex clubhouse and use like their media room, kind of like their office setup.
Yeah.
And the Wi-Fi in there was trash. And so like, and I was, you know, recording into like the Apple headphones as my microphone.
Nice.
And yeah. So like when we made the huge leap to buying like Blue Snowball microphones four years into podcasting, it was it felt like we arrived. And now, yeah, I mean, look at us now. Just
lavish.
Ronnie has like a whole studio. You have an office.
Oh.
I mean, I have a desk. That counts for something. There you go. It's huge.
No, it is. It's huge. It's very huge. Ron, had we done our books together at that point? I forget the timeline of all this. I think we probably had.
I think Bridezill had just dropped.
Okay.
That released while we were doing the podcast. The first one that you guys did together was previous.
Gosh, what a whirlwind, Ron. I mean, do you remember
2012, that first?
Do you remember how our lives changed? I mean,
I feel like I'm still recuperating from just the media explosion that happened, especially around the first book.
You know what? I think you're going to relate to this when I say it. I barely know that guy anymore. You know, the guy that I was before Bridezilla. Mm. Oh, to get that back, you know,
to reclaim that innocence.
Literally this last week, this is so funny. A friend of mine texted me from like some random Christian bookstore and he was like, "Hey, you're in the bookstore." And then the picture comes through and it's that book. And I hit him back and I'm like, that's literally the worst book I've ever written. It's not even close. And
the power of Waterbrook.
Waterbrook. You say the name Waterbrook Multnomah and people do things. You know what I mean? And Piper, I know you know what we're talking about because you were, when we started the program, you were in the publishing business. And
I was.
That Waterbrook name, it does open doors, is all I'm saying.
I will say it opened more doors when it was just Multnomah.
Oh, Multnomah. You know? It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? I mean, it's it's a simple name.
It had the little mountain as their little logo on the
spine.
Branding,
I know because like
my dad published with Multnomah back in the day, and so that name was like a staple in our house.
Everywhere you go in the world, that logo is sort of recognized around the globe. And
I'm scanning my eyes around my house right now, and that thing just it seems to pop up everywhere.
It really it's everywhere. Does. Yeah. So shout out Waterbrook Multnomah. My question to you is, both of you, does that company still exist? Or are they still putting books out?
Oh, you better believe it still exists.
Really?
You better believe it, big time.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Bigger.
What are they doing? What kind of moves are they making?
What are they? You mean after our book? What are they doing?
Yeah.
They're reveling in.
After we put them on the map, you know, I'm still
reveling in our success.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, still dining out on Bridezilla, you know.
100%. 100%.
How does it make feel, Ronald, to know that we made careers with that book? Who's our editor on that thing? Do you remember?
I think the only right answer is humbled. You feel humbled.
Yeah, I think I feel humbled.
Do you remember who our editor was on that?
I do.
Who was it?
I want to be careful now because we both love this guy, Andrew Stoddy.
Oh, Stoddy. Yeah, we love him. I haven't thought about him in 8 years, but I love that guy. You know, truly, you guys are getting uncomfortable because you probably got a deal in the works with Stoddy.
I don't got a deal in the works with Stoddard, but he truly is like a salt of the earth dude. He's a great
guy. A brother. you know.
He was at David C. Cook when I did my first two books with them, and then made the there was kind of a mass exodus of leadership, and he moved over to Waterbrook just in time to have his career made by you guys.
Wow, man.
I couldn't pull it off, so he switched publishers to work with you guys.
What a sliding doors moment for him. You know, it all could have been different over at Dave Cook. Dave Cook still a company?
Things have gone so well for them in the last 8 years.
What have they done lately?
Gone through 9 VPs.
Nice, dude. Were any of us a VP at Dave Cook for a minute? I don't think I was, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been so fast you might not have noticed.
Exactly. Dude, being a VP at Dave Cook, where are they based? Are they Grand Rapids or Wheaton?
Colorado Springs, the other one.
The other one. Yeah, yeah. So Colorado Springs, you're moving your family out there. You're excited. You're VP finally in publishing, and then it goes south in 6 months. Who's their biggest author? Do they have anybody big in the stable?
I mean, I think Francis Chan is still publishing with them. That's the thing, is like there was a stretch where they crushed.
Yeah.
And then they just started, they had some great leadership who all left for other companies. Mm-hmm. And then the transitions to new leadership just didn't go well on repeat. I think they're actually doing well now.
Okay.
But there was about a 6 or 7 year stretch where like they were not doing well. And I don't know who they were acquiring that was, you know, like big authors doing great work.
Yeah. There were no Frankie Chan though. We got a lot of mileage out of Frankie in the early years of the show. I feel like that was kind of a recurring motif. Back when Frankie was still a celebrity.
I feel like we should do some investigative journalists and kind of a where is he now? Because, yeah, he was so important in our lives for a long time.
Where do you think he is now? That's interesting.
I genuinely have no idea. Like, you could tell me that he's, like, pulling a Mother Teresa in you know...
Calcutta.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bangkok or something. Or that he's pastoring a network of home churches.
Mm-hmm.
Or that he is doing internet marketing. Or that he has taken up church consultancy, as many pastors who leave the ministry do.
Yeah.
Or, like, that he's become Eastern Orthodox. Like, I genuinely have no idea.
All of those scenarios are kind of equally fascinating to me. So that was a good list, Pipe. Ron, do you have any idea what Frankie could actually be up to these days?
Ronnie just said to Irish goodbye, which makes sense because we are recording this on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, is he out of here? My phone.
He texted and said had to run. Sorry, guys.
Dude, he got really uncomfortable with that Stoddard stuff. I don't think
that's why he had to run, but yeah. I'm sure it accelerated his departure.
Dude, because you know he's got like feeler emails out to literally every acquisitions editor there is. So, if you're listening, Ron loves you.
Yes. Also, Andrew Stoddard as a person is wonderful.
He is a good guy.
I've never done a publishing deal with him. So yeah. I only know him personally and I really like him.
I was kind of doing a bit there where I sort of pretended to forget Andrew Stoddard and the great work that we did together. But Stoddy,
he would understand. He is a man with a sense of humor and not thin skin. So
yeah,
you'll be fine.
And if you're listening, Ron really wants to do a book with you about literally anything. Give him the $8,000 advance.
But especially church planting in a small town.
Exactly. Things have changed a lot, Pipe, since we started. Like Ron was still like a worship guy, I think. Or maybe he was just like right at the beginning of pastoring. I don't remember.
Well, when we started, he was still a worship guy. When he came on the podcast, I think he was pretty recently in Ohio.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Because I think he's been there 6-7 years, so that would have been about the time he started.
He was still kind of dining out on being a church planter. Remember that when it was like cool to call yourself a church planter? And now, like as of the past couple of years, he's doubled down on like he actually skipped over just being a pastor, and now he's like, I'm the pastor to pastors. So not only am I a pastor, I'm like double pastor. So.
Well, some of that, and he would be so offended to hear me say this, but I'm not worried because he won't listen, is simply his age. Like, he was a church planter when many guys are at the just pastoring stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and then he moved into a season of life, if you will, that is the pastor-to-pastor age bracket, despite having, you know, there's sort of a condensed time frame.
Yeah, that's right. Dude, can we do a second on him insisting that he doesn't listen, but I actually think he listens to every second of the program. I think it's performative when he says he doesn't listen. What are your thoughts on that? Do you believe
him? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Kind of? Yeah.
This is one of those, like, we'll do what we do. He does what he does. We will pretend that we think that he doesn't listen. He will pretend that he doesn't listen, and both will go on our merry ways. Yeah. I think that's probably how this works best.
Yeah. I think he actually... And this all manifests in different ways, right? So, like, cards on the table, I really do care about the show. And I enjoy doing the show. I listen to the show. Like, I enjoy the episodes. My wife listens. He pretends to not care about the show. But I think he actually cares about it the most out of the three of us. In that he has the most, like, sort of ideas when it comes to how we should do things.
Also, he wouldn't keep doing this if he didn't care. Like, I don't know how busy Ronnie actually is, but I know that he has enough irons in the fire that if this was a thing that he deemed a waste of time,
he would
not keep showing up every other week.
Yeah, yeah, he would not show up once a month like he does. Like, his, you know, he would not be the Cal Ripken Jr. of this program. And by that, I mean being on it one time per month.
Yeah. I'm going to say, and by that you mean, I don't know, who's a baseball player who's really good half the time?
And by half the time, we mean a third of the time. Yeah. Pipe, we both have a heart out. We need to close this program. But it has been a pleasure doing independent media with you. And now that we're selling out, we're becoming a part of a huge corporate machine and, you know, doing lots of coke and undoubtedly breaking up. It's been a good run. Just kind of mom and popping this thing for 8 years. But I look forward to seeing where it goes.
Yeah. I mean, we already know where it's going.
Yeah.
We're going to write our breakup letters
exactly.
In advance.
Exactly. On a rocket ship of fame and fortune is where it's going. Pipe, we've done what we always do on this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout independent media. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
It's a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.